1 year ago tomorrow, a 12-story condominium building just steps away from the ocean in Surfside, Florida, collapsed without warning. It happened in the middle of the night. 98 people died. A year later, the huge pile of rubble has been cleared away, but the story is far from over. Many families are still grieving their sudden loss, and now changes to the law. Florida just recently passed a bill requiring regular inspections of tall condo buildings. Last year, we spoke with Evan McKenzie, a professor of condominium and homeowner association law at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And today, we've invited him back. Evan, it's good to speak with you again.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And when we spoke with you last year, you told us that what happened was a shocking lapse of condo oversight. And there are new laws. There will be more building inspections. But do you think that Florida is acting with the kind of urgency you were hoping for?
In part, but not. I don't think they're addressing the major part of the problem yet. I mean, they're kind of addressing the tip of the iceberg. It's been a year. And so what we have now is a law that will require what they call milestone inspections, like all the condo associations in Florida have to get a baseline structural inspection at 30 years. They're then required to do inspections every 10 years, and then they have to maintain adequate reserves. And all that sounds good. And it is good, and I'm glad they're doing it. But you know, part of the problem here is that two-thirds of the condo associations in Florida are already 30 years old. So they have to go back and somehow get all these inspections done in a couple of years, and then they have to come up with the money to fix the buildings. And what they have not done is come up with any sources of revenue for these folks to fix their buildings. And so if you have, you know, 25, 30 years of deferred maintenance, where is the money supposed to come from? The core problem really at Surfside was that the people really could not afford to come up with the capital to fix the building. And that was what a lot of the conflict was about.
That's right. And at Surfside, the condos had been inspected before they fell. The repairs that were under consideration were incredibly, incredibly expensive, into the six figures per homeowner in some cases. And there were questions about whether residents would be able to afford that. So what's your take on the new requirement that the buildings have to keep this reserve fund large enough to make those repairs? It sounds like you're skeptical that it can happen.
Yes, I am skeptical that it can be done. Unless the associations start putting that money away at the time of original construction, they won't have enough. And so if you say to people in a 30-year-old condo building, well, you have to go back, you have a year or something, or 2 years, to adequately fund your reserves to fix your structural problems, they'll be in the same position that the folks were at Surfside in many of these associations. They just won't have the money to do it.
That's the financial side. From the inspection point of view, do you think the added schedule of inspections will prevent any future collapses?
Yes, I do think that. I mean, I think from the standpoint of addressing the problem of buildings falling down, they have definitely set up a system that should prevent that. And that needed to be done. I just think, as I said, that, you know, the problems go beyond that.
So these reforms are one thing, but anyone who lives in a tower like this or is thinking about buying in a tower like this are probably, you know, asking a more fundamental question. Could this happen again? Will it happen to my home? So what do you say to that? And what are the red flags for prospective condo buyers at this point?
If you're a prospective buyer, you should ask, when was the last reserve study done? And what did it say? And did you follow the recommendations for funding the reserves? And if they say, well, we haven't done a reserve study ever, or we haven't done one in 20 years, that's a huge red flag.
Evan McKenzie teaches condo and homeowner association law at the University of Illinois at Chicago's Law School. Evan, thank you so much for coming back and speaking with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And last year, we also spoke with Pablo Rodriguez, who lost his mother, Elena Blasser, and his grandmother, Elena Chavez, in the collapse. And Pablo is also back with us today. Pablo, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Peter.
Listen, I know it was really tough for you. The last time we spoke, the search crews had not even yet found your mother's body or your grandmother's. A year has now passed. You've been fighting for some of the reforms that we just talked to Evan about. How are you feeling about what's been done in the past year?
I'm glad that they finally did get something done. I agree with Evan. It was interesting listening to him. I agree with him on most of what he said. An added concern I have with the current law as is not only the reserve funding, but also the quality of the inspections and accountability for those inspections. Part of the problem with Surfside, where the county came in, the city came in and told them the building's fine. And then you see the pictures and reports that came out, and it definitely was not fine even at that point.
I mentioned you'd been fighting for some of these reforms. In the midst of your grief, why did you make the decision to get involved with that effort to change the laws?
Had to try to do something. It was unspeakable grief. I still can't believe this happened. I just think to myself, well, what would my mother do? And she would have been fighting to make sure no family ever has to go through this. This is the United States. The buildings don't just fall down here. And there's no reason for it, especially with the maintenance that most of these buildings are charging monthly. To have this condition of a building with no accountability. So I think that's what really motivated me to try to channel the pain into something productive.
Well, aside from that, and I know it is hard for you to talk about this, how are you doing?
Depends on the day. Overall, not great, but it really kind of depends on the day. I'm still having nightmares where I'm seeing inside the building what's happening as it's collapsing. And I know that it's not rational, and I can't really, you know, nobody knows what happened inside. And the best you can hope for is that they were just sleeping and didn't feel anything. But I'm still struggling with that.
Has anything helped?
Not really. the closest thing to helping is seeing that my son's doing much better. And that's a big relief from my point, because he had changed completely in the aftermath of the collapse. So seeing him back to normal is I think the only thing that's really helped.
The building obviously totally destroyed. The rubble has been cleared away. There has been a developer stepping in to buy the land. Do you have an opinion about what happens to that space where your mother and your grandmother lost their life?
Yeah, everybody's got their opinion on what's going to happen. I've been, and I continue to be, pretty realistic. It's prime beachfront real estate. There's no way that was going to stay empty. So it's not a surprise. I mean, you're never happy that they're going to be building on top of where this happened, where they died, where pieces of them might still be, because who knows? But it's the reality of what was inevitably going to happen.
Yeah. On the other hand, a judge recently approved a $1 billion fund for Surfside victim families. I know that no amount of money is going to bring your family members back, your loved ones. But how do you think about that settlement and how it might or might not help you heal?
The biggest concern with the settlement at all is that there's not going to be any accountability. Part of the settlement is that none of the defendants accept any blame or liability whatsoever. So there's no further interest really in trying to find out who was culpable, who's responsible, who was negligent. So that's disheartening, to say the least. The other aspect of it is, yeah, no amount of money is going to ever bring your loved ones back. But further than that, the way that the Florida Wrongful Death Act works actually treats some members of the family as not having any pain and suffering whatsoever. For example, a spouse that's from another marriage or something like that, spouse receives everything, children receive absolutely nothing. If you were a child, a minor child, your parents are the only ones that can really claim for you. Except if your parents also died in the collapse, then there's not really anybody there allowed to make the claim. So it's I think a lot more is going to be coming out of this as the settlement talks progress, of how the law is really antiquated and does not serve a situation like this.
So are you saying, with this law in Florida, that you as an adult son and as the grandson would not get any of the settlement money, or you would be treated differently in some way?
Zero. I don't get taken into consideration at all.
I see. Before we let you go, I want to give you a chance just to tell us about your mom and about your grandma. I mean, are there memories that have been bringing you comfort a year later? I mean, what would you like people to know about them?
For my grandmother first, she was 87 years old, but I think it's important for people to know that she was not a normal 87-year-old. She went ziplining in Costa Rica. She would travel with her friends. She would rent a car and drive over Europe. So just having, I really miss them. Every Saturday they would come over to my house. They'd spend the day with my son. I just miss being able to be with them. They were full of life. They were always happy, always smiling, joking around. And they were the life of the party.
Your mother's name was Elena Blosser. Your grandmother, Elena Chavez, both died in the Surfside condo collapse a year ago. Pablo Rodriguez, thank you so much again for speaking with us and sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.